Well, in a moment, we're going to hear a reading from the Bible, from the book of Psalms. I'll say more about that in a moment. But I wonder whether we can do something first, and that is just turn to the person next to you and say one thing that you are thankful for. It doesn't matter what it is, just one thing that you feel thankful for today. So just turn to the person next to you and tell them that one thing. Apparently that's not working, so no, try this one.
Hello.
Okay. Some of you must have had more than one thing by the sounds of it, so that's encouraging. Now, the relevance of that will become apparent as we go forward. But we're going to hear from Psalm 127. I think it will be on the screen, and Danny is going to read it for us.
Psalms 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate.
Danny, thank you. Let me pinch the microphone in the Bible. It's up. Right, well, we'll explain more about that psalm in a moment. When my dad moved from a three-bedroom house into a small flat, he had to get rid of loads of things, and lots of them went to the tip, and lots of them went to the charity shop, but quite a few of them came to us, myself and my brother and sister. And one thing that I got was a box. It was about this big. It was a yellow, well, it's more of a case than a box with a couple of latches, and on the front was a little plaque riveted on that said, Harrods. So I opened the box to see what was inside, and inside were two hats. There was a silk top hat and a felt bowler hat. Now, these days, it's just possible that somebody might wear a top hat, I suppose, if they were going to a wedding, but nobody surely wears a bowler hat these days. Bowler hats originated in the 19th century. And actually, they were what working-class men used to wear. But in the 20th century, they became, and let me quote, they became the quintessential attire of City of London gents. So, something like that. The quintessential attire of City of London gents. This bowler hat was not, in fact, my dad's. It was my grandfather's. And he had worked his way up the management structure of a pharmaceutical firm until he was indeed a City of London gent. And I can imagine my grandfather in his suit with his briefcase and his bowler hat on going to work in London. He was a self-made man. He had made something of himself. He was leaving his mark upon the world. And that hat was almost a symbol of respectability and hard work. Bravo. Well, our Bible reading today might be called a poem for the self-made man. Now, the Bible obviously was written a long time ago, and it was written for a male-centered world. And of course, when it talks about man these days, we read people. And when it talks about sons, we read it today as meaning children. And we're in the habit, in this church at least, of changing the language to make it more inclusive. But let's not do that today. I'm going to stick with the original language in the original context to help us think about the self-made man. So the psalm we read was Psalm 127. Now, just quick explanation for those unfamiliar with the Bible. Right in the middle of the Bible is the book of Psalms, and it is a collection of 150 poems and prayers and complaints and a few rants, and it's been described as the Bible's hymn book or the Bible's prayer book. And within the 150 are 15 psalms of ascent. That's ascent as in going up, not ascent as in agreeing with something. And they're called psalms of ascent because, as you already know, if you've been here for the last few weeks, they would have been sung or recited by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was on a hill. So back in the day, the Israelite people, or some of them at least, would travel to Jerusalem once or twice a year, a bit like we would go home for Christmas, you know, the big festivals. And as they ascended towards the city up the hill, maybe they could see the taller buildings silhouetted in the evening light. And inspired and excited by the sight, they sang the Psalms of Ascent. It's a bit like singing in the coach on the way to the away football game, or singing the songs of the performer on the way into the gig. You know, you're excited and you sing as you approach this place that you're heading towards, that you've journeyed towards. And in the middle of these 15 Psalms of Ascent lies Psalm 127, our reading for today. And it starts like this. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for the Lord grants sleep to those he loves. Well, I think these words are aimed squarely at the man on the make. The man who is trying to establish himself by building a house and by playing his part in the community as he joins the watchman looking out for enemies, you'd have to do in those days, and by rising early and working right through the day and long into the evening. The man who is driven by a combination of responsibility and ambition. And of course, when this psalm was written, I don't know, what, 500 years before Christ, 500 BC, the man on the make, well, that probably described most men. Every man back in the day had to be self-made. There were no handouts, there were no welfare benefits, no pension arrangements. You had to make your own security. You had to till your land and steward your resources and build your house, probably literally. You had to defend your property and trade your produce and negotiate with your neighbors. Oh, and by the way, find a wife and have children so that there was someone who later on could help you in your endeavor. That was the culture. You had to work hard to be someone and to establish yourself. Today, I'm not actually sure it's all that different. The rules of culture have changed, and certainly it's not now only the men who feel they both can and should do this. But you know how it goes. Get an education, find a job, buy a car, rent a house, work hard, make a career, save some money, find a partner, get a mortgage, buy a house, get a promotion, have a child, have another child, buy a bigger house, buy a bigger car, build a pension, and so on. In short, you establish yourself in the world, and through application and diligence and graft, you aim to determine your own future. Now look, anything can come along and disturb that pattern. Redundancy, sickness, all sorts of things. And there are plenty of psalms which, in which their authors cry out to God about the difficulty of their situation. But that's not this psalm. This psalm is for those for whom things are working out well. And its basic message is, in your upward trajectory, don't forget about God. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand watch in vain. Now, I don't think that's a threat, as if you don't remember God, everything will go disastrously wrong. I just think it's saying that as we work hard to shape our world to our advantage, pay attention to the spiritual as well as the material. Pay attention to the well-being of the inner person as well as outward success. It's not a criticism of those who rise early and toil late. It's not a criticism of those who have the ambition to pursue a dream. It's just saying, as you go, make room for God in the life you construct for yourself. Failing to do that, it's a bit like building a racing car with a massive engine and then fitting the brakes from a 1980s Ford Fiesta. Or training for the heptathlon, by, you know, jumping and running and hurdling and throwing the shot put, but never once picking up a javelin. You know, there'd be a major weakness in your portfolio of skills. We have to attend to the spiritual as well as the material. That's what this psalm is saying. And for the self-made man of the Old Testament days, the starting point in acknowledging God is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. That's the beginning. Because when we thank God for the things that we enjoy, we accept that we have all we have, not solely because of our hard work or our effort, but because of blessing we have received along the way. And blessing is the key word. It's what we talked about already so many times this morning. We are here to bless John and Jade and Theo. We are here to ask for God's blessing. To be blessed is to be given something wonderful, probably something undeserved by somebody else. So, for example, my bowler-hatted, hard-working, self-made grandfather, well, no doubt he did graft very hard to get to his position of seniority in his company, but he was also blessed along the way. He was blessed by a good education, for a start. He was blessed to be working in an industry which was critical and meant that he didn't have to fight in World War II. And he was blessed to meet and marry the chief executive's daughter. Which is a nice little introduction to the workings of company life. So did he work hard? Was he self-made? Yes. But was he blessed as well along the way? Oh, yes. Nothing to do with him, perhaps, but God's blessing. And this psalm says that that blessing finds its source in God. Others might talk about fortune or luck. Here we talk about God's blessing. And the example the psalm gives, and here I guess we finally get around to why it's relevant, particularly today, is the example of blessing it gives is the blessing of children. Sons, it says, are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, a son's born in one's youth. Blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them. So I'm wondering how many children John and Jade will have. Anyway, there we go. Blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them. Now, again, let me just give, first of all, a couple of words of caution. First of all, again, just about this gendered language thing. We note that the psalm gives precedence to sons. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, and we ask, well, are daughters not then a heritage from the Lord? Well, yes, they are, because it immediately goes on to say that children, both boys and girls, are a reward from God. And the precedent on, or the precedence given to sons is just a cultural thing. Think about it. The self-made man of ancient days, they wanted to guard what they had built up. So he wanted sons because in his ancient culture, it was sons who worked the land and planted the vineyards, sons who were given and trained in the fighting skills to protect the property, sons who had the legal status to resolve disputes, and sons who grew the family numerically, because when a man married a woman in that culture, the woman came and joined the man's family home, and any children born to them stayed in that economic unit. So, in other words, sons equaled wealth and security. That might be very unfair, but that's the way it was. It says here that in the psalm, those with children will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies. Because in ancient times, if you felt threatened, you didn't call the police, you called your sons. Well, today, it's kind of both similar and different. And those of us who are fortunate enough to have children know that as we get older, more and more we need our sons and daughters. We need them to set up our technology, don't we, for a start? We need them to explain the words that we are no longer allowed to use. You ever had that? Your children correct you? You can't say that anymore, Dad. We need them to help us heave a wardrobe up the stairs. And later on, of course, unfortunately, we need them to accompany us on our hospital visits, help us pay our bills, and generally support us in our decline. But the point of Psalm 127 is this. Sons and indeed daughters are a blessing from God. They are his gift to us. So the self-made man of Bible times should not parade his children and say, look at me, how clever am I? Any more than he should flaunt his wealth and say, see what a marvelous chap I have become. No, if he's going to parade his children and flaunt his wealth, he should say, look at the blessing I am fortunate to have received from God. Thanks be to God for the grace he has shown me. And this leads to my second note of caution. What do those of us who do not have children make of this passage? Especially those of us who have longed for children but cannot have them, or even lost children, whether literally or metaphorically. Are they in a situation which is not blessed? Now look, I do have children, so this is not my lived experience, and I'm not aware of all the difficulty and pain that might be within that, but I guess we can only note that this psalm says something about those who do have children and is silent about those who do not. It says that those who do have children are blessed by God, and I think there could be lots and lots of other psalms written about the blessings that other people have that may be different. In other words, if we broaden the principle of this passage, the message is that we should see anything or anyone that brings us joy, well-being, and security as a sign of God's blessing and give thanks to him for it. Whether that's health, home, wider family, a job to go to, a pension that allows you to retire, whatever it may be, friends to share time with, a church to belong to, give thanks to God for all that you consider to be a blessing. In other words, take time out for gratefulness. Take time out to acknowledge God in all that you enjoy. Remember what we said? These Psalms of Ascent are for pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem to worship God. People who had left behind their farm, their business, their land for a week or two in order to pause and come and take time out for gratefulness and to go and worship God. And that is what the wise self-made man would do. They would take time out for gratefulness. And that is what this dedication service is about, isn't it? This is John and Jade, as they establish themselves as a family, taking time out to give thanks for the source of goodness. Isn't that what Jade's testimony was about? It's fantastic, by the way. What about for the rest of us? Well, we do two things. Firstly, because the Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, today we rejoice with Jade and John and we share their joy. And we do so whatever our own circumstances are. And even if we do so with a bit of internal pain because of our own circumstances, we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we celebrate with them. That's our duty. And secondly, of course, we remember what our own blessings are, whether they be children or anything else, and we remember their source. As we seek to establish ourselves and secure our situation, whatever age we may be, we are wise to do so in the context of thanksgiving. We take time out for gratefulness. So we've got just a short opportunity to do that in a moment. And I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And we're going to sing a song. You can join in if you know it and you want to. But we've got a piece of paper here and some pens. And it says here, time out for gratefulness to God. And I asked you at the start, is there something you want to thank, or you're thankful for this morning? Well, if it's that or anything else, there are a whole number of things. We've got some pens. If, as we sing this song, you want to come forward, nobody has to, it's an invitation. Whether you're a visitor or whether you're a regular here, if you want to come forward and write on this sheet something that you just want to pause and say thank you for, then let's see how much of this we can fill out with the ways in which God has blessed us. You okay doing that? Some are. That's good. At least I've got a start. Nobody has to. Please. Please hear me. So we're going to sing a song. As we start singing, if you want to come forward, please do.